Welcome in to another sub-freezing edition of Golden Black Radio. I'm your host, Derek Schultz. The good news is that the Boilers are red hot. They've rattled off four straight blowout victories to stay atop the Big Ten standings in the win column at 5-1, just a half game back of the two Michigan schools. But a tricky road trip awaits out west. They go to Seattle and then Eugene, the new reality in the expanded Big Ten. We're going to talk about it all with Brian Newbert, who already has his bag packed in just a few minutes. But first, a thank you to our tremendous Golden Black Radio sponsors, including Purdue Federal Credit Union, a proud partner of Purdue Athletics and the official credit card for Purdue fans. Boiler up. East End Grill and Ripple and Company, two distinctive bistros across the street from one another on the far end of Main Street, the perfect place for your next event. The Whitaker Inn, this Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or a weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn. Sand Valley Resort, celebrate all the wilderness provides this winter at Sand Valley. Experience everything from curling and ice hockey to ice fishing and snowshoeing, and even the restorative benefits of a guided cold plunge in the frozen lakes. Start planning your next winter getaway by visiting sandvalleypursuits.com. And the Purdue Institute for Cancer Research. The Purdue Institute for Cancer Research has a history of innovation and one goal for the future: defeat cancer. Purdue brings together world-class Boilermaker scientists from across the university, conducting cutting-edge research that uncovers new ways to prevent, diagnose, and treat cancer. With your support, cancer research saves lives. Join the fight and donate to the Purdue Institute for Cancer Research today. Let's welcome on GoldenBlack.com columnist and basketball coverer Brian Newbert. He joins me now, as he does every Tuesday on the show. And look, I know this hasn't been a murderer's row of opponents here to kick off January, but are we starting to see, I know this weekend obviously was a great example, but are we starting to see Purdue be the best version of itself?
Yeah, that's actually what it says on my business cards, basketball coverer. No. I think that Purdue is, I said after Auburn, you know, I think Purdue's still really good. I think that the non-conference schedule maybe warped some realities for some people because they're not used to seeing Purdue lose in non-conference play. But I think Purdue's been pretty good all along. They just ran into some people who gave them real problems, who all happened to be like top 10 teams, with the exception of Penn State, of course. But no, Purdue's, I mean, some stuff's coming together for them here. I think they've really improved defensively. I think when they take care of the basketball, they're an exponentially better defensive team. And I think you've seen those two things go hand in hand here lately. You know, they've got some young guys on this team that are all sort of coming of age. They're getting better. They're kind of settling in. I think they've got some things falling in place in terms of their front court that maybe was in a little bit of flux early on this season. Caleb First has really been playing well lately. Braden Smith is just awesome, for lack of a better term, and he's really asserting himself now. I think losing, pissing him off probably wasn't the worst thing in the world either, in the grand scheme of things. But when Purdue makes shots, you know, that's really the only thing that's held them back in these past four Big Ten games. Now, Purdue hasn't played a heavyweight yet. They haven't played another contender, but you can't look at what they're doing and see any sort of inkling whatsoever that they're not going to be ready for Big Ten championship caliber games. The only thing that's held them back these four Big Ten games is for a game and a half, they didn't shoot the ball very well. That was the first game, the first half at Minnesota, the whole game at Rutgers. Purdue eventually one way or another blew those games open, and they've just been kind of laying waste to everything in their path here. And that's really all you can ask. You can't change the schedule. You can't just decide on a Sunday morning you're going to play Michigan State instead of Nebraska. And who Purdue's played, you really can't ask for much more than the way Purdue has dispatched those opponents it should beat. And, you know, there's another one coming with Washington. That then Oregon's really the first game of consequence here in terms of the Big Ten race.
I think you coined the term, what is it, Mackey Buzzsaw? Or, you know, kind of the one of those days type things where Purdue has, or I guess an opponent for Purdue would be a more apt way to say it, has one of those days at Mackey Arena just because of the environment and everything else, and Purdue just taps into all of it. But in all of your years on the beat, was that offensive performance against Nebraska on the short list of maybe the best Mackey Buzzsaw slash one of those days type wins?
I've seen a few of them. The Virginia game years back was kind of one of those games where it's just – a few times a year or once every 2 years, whatever it might be, there's just that game where Purdue just makes everything it takes. And it's kind of fitting it was against Nebraska, because this was kind of the reverse Tominaga, where Purdue just made everything it took, and that's, it's been on the wrong end of that against Nebraska and Lincoln a couple times. And, you know, Purdue's got one of the best home court advantages in college basketball. And, every now and then it just kind of shows up, and Purdue can do no wrong. And that first half, especially against Nebraska, was absolutely positively one of those days. And, it felt like Purdue kind of had that coming, the way they shot the ball at Rutgers and the way they shot the ball at Minnesota. And, sure enough, they did. Purdue, knew what to expect better than probably most from Nebraska's defense, knew how to beat it as a point guard who is basically controlling games like a Terminator right now, and got every shot it wanted and made an abnormal amount of them. And that game was over 10 minutes in. And it's just kind of one of those things that every now and then happens in Mackey Arena. It often happens in really big games when the crowd is at its liveliest, when the students are there. But nonetheless, it happened in Nebraska on Sunday.
A really young backcourt that we've talked about a lot with C.J. Cox and Jakari Harris. And C.J. had the nice start to the season, including he had that game-turning three-point flurry against Alabama when things were looking pretty dire. And then he kind of disappeared for a while, but he's really turned it back on the last month or so, had a huge game against the Cornhuskers. And even Harris, I mean, seems to be a more consistent contributor lately. He's occasionally making shots, which I think has been a problem for him from the outside. But what kind of growth have you seen from both of those two guys as now we're 2 months in?
Well, I think along with this being the case for the whole team, I think getting away from playing Auburn and Texas A&M and Marquette helped them too, because all the teams Purdue lost to, and I'm including Penn State in this, are designed to make guards look bad. They're designed to apply pressure. They're designed to force turnovers. And there were times in that non-conference season where Purdue just didn't look ready for it. And part of that, and I don't mean ready for it in terms of prepared, like they didn't know what these teams were going to do. It's just they weren't necessarily prepared to handle it. Purdue looked like they needed another point guard in the worst way. You know, C.J. Cox looked like a guy who was more of a combo guard, a scoring guard. He still does, you know. Jakari Harris didn't necessarily look like that guy who had burst enough to play against teams like that. And that's probably still their realities against certain types of opponents. But once you got to Big Ten play and the way games were played changed, those guys look a little bit more comfortable. Almost like there are some guys, I always said this about Mason Gillis, there are some guys whose value comes out more in Big Ten play than it might in wide open non-conference play. And I think that's sort of been the case for these two guys. They've both come a long way defensively. They were both good in the first place physically in terms of their effort level and things like that, but they're much more part of a team now from a team defense perspective. And they both look more confident. They both look more sure of themselves out there. And I think they've both been real impact players. Jakari Harris is making a huge difference on defense. C.J. Cox is making a difference on defense, but he's also got that kind of firecracker element where he might make a couple shots here and there and change games. He's done it twice now this season for Purdue. Jakari Harris makes the biggest three of the Rutgers game, and if you had that on your bingo card, that was good for you. But I think both of those guys just – you know, players get better, and I think people sometimes forget that. It's almost like your first impression of a guy is frozen in time, and people don't realize that young guys sometimes – I think this is kind of true of Miles Coleman, too, who was like 18 years old, a young 18 when he got to Purdue. He's still a young guy, and guys get better. Players get better over time, and players get better as they play, as they gain experience and all that stuff, as they see what it takes to win at this level, as their teammates rub off on them more and more. And I think for C.J. Cox and Jakari Harris, that's just sort of been the process that they've had to kind of adhere to. And I think it's really starting to pay off now.
And I'd argue, especially Purdue men's basketball players under Matt Painter get better. You know, I know there's a natural guys get better as they progress, but I think you especially see it in this program. Am I right?
Well, there's kind of a larger point at play here that I'll make at the risk of completely hijacking this podcast with a cultural diatribe here, but you know, the instant gratification of taking transfers comes at the expense of this. It comes at the expense of investing in freshmen, putting them out there to improve on the job, to play through mistakes, to actually experience things that are going to make them better real time. And, you know, Purdue could have gone out last spring and gotten a transfer and put that transfer right on top of Jakari Harris and CJ Cox at their expense. And who knows how things then play out for those guys at Purdue in their future. But the fact that Purdue is still playing young guys against old guys, against adults, that comes with some ups and downs sometimes, but it also makes the players you're bringing into your program better. And everything that CJ Cox and Jakari Harris experienced in December and January, what month is it now? I don't know. November and December. I'm sorry. Is making them better right now, and it'll make them really better next year, the year after that, the year after that, stuff like that. Whereas had you taken a guard last year and that player's gone in a year, those guys are stunted next year. I know that's not all that gratifying for Purdue partisans in the moment when Purdue's losing at Marquette or whatever it might be, but that's kind of the way Purdue is building this thing, or has built this thing. And this is part of it. This puts a face on that very process, that very dynamic.
I just realized that the little text boxes that have our names in them, where you're just Newbert and I'm Derek Schultz, they were red beforehand. And I figured on a Purdue podcast, even though a lot of people are listening and not watching it, if you are happening to watch this, I figured I should change that off of red. Maybe that's the marketing brain in me going with brand colors and things like that. But I know everybody freaks out whenever there's anything that's red. That's okay. Associated. Yeah, we got to be careful about that. So I did change it halfway through. So if you're panicking about that, noted that it's changed. Let's talk about this road trip because it's unique, right? This is the first time they're going to be doing this. Washington looks like one of the worst teams in the league. It's not a good basketball team, but Oregon really bounced back from that. I watched that Illinois shellacking, and maybe that was just their version of one of those nights, except it came at home a couple of weeks ago, and Illinois is very good. But a pair of really nice road wins for them. They won at Penn State. They won at Ohio State last week. What are your thoughts just on this week as it's this first time across the country conference road trip experience for them?
Yeah, it's just also silly that the Big Ten, I mean, it certainly upped its seafood game. Going from Jersey to Seattle to the Pacific Northwest, but it's just so stupid that Purdue is going to be playing a conference game in Seattle after playing a conference game in New Jersey. It defies all logic, but the only thing that matters is TV football money, so whatever. But it's going to be unique. I think these former Pac-12 teams, you know, are probably more competitively compromised here than anyone else in the league, because for as less than ideal as these cross-country trips come in the middle of your Big Ten season, they've got to do it every time basically they leave, other than that USC-UCLA doubleheader. But I don't think Washington is a Big Ten caliber basketball program at this point. Oregon certainly is, but the style of play out there has historically been very different. The environments in the Pac-12 have been very different from the Big Ten. It's going to be a shock to everyone's system on both sides of this when, say, Oregon goes to Indiana and they're playing in the sort of environment you might only get at like UCLA and Arizona when they're good in the past. And then the opposite is when Purdue goes to USC and there's nobody there. Nobody cares about USC basketball. It's just going to be very, very – it's going to fly in the face of everything you thought you knew about Big Ten basketball doing this thing. I don't think from a scheduling perspective what's going on for Purdue right now – and nobody at Purdue has said this to me. I brought this up on my own. People got mad at me for some reason, but – Purdue played on the Atlantic coast Thursday, right? They come home on a short turnaround for a Sunday noon game at home. And then they go out west. They have to stay out west for a week to play these two games in the middle of their Big Ten season. Historically, the longest trip Purdue makes in the Big Ten is like Lincoln or State College, and you jump right on your plane, you come right back home. You don't even, your body doesn't even realize you're outside of Indiana. This is silly. It really shouldn't happen. I understand that you have 18 teams spread out over way too big a geographic tract of land. But if you have to do this, you shouldn't have both coasts in the span of a week. It just seems like too much. It's only a matter of time. I've said this over and over again, ever since all these teams joined the league, that people are going to lose games because of the schedule. And if people lose games because of the schedule, Big Ten championships are going to be decided by the schedule. That was already the case with single play, unbalanced schedules. But now it's way different than it was before. And I don't see any reason to think Purdue's not up to this. And I get accused of making excuses for Purdue. I don't understand some of the criticisms about this sometimes. It just seems like common sense that a college basketball team shouldn't be playing on both coasts in the span of a week. It's too much to ask of kids. But it's the reality of the new Big Ten. And the only thing that matters is television money for football. And basketball has had to bend over backwards to make this work. They're cashing the checks too, so don't feel bad for them. That money is benefiting basketball. But between their games being on Peacock occasionally and their fans that don't understand streaming or don't keep up with the day-to-day, here's what's going on type of stuff, that's not ideal for basketball. This travel is not ideal for basketball. The competitive landscape is not ideal for basketball because you had a great situation going with one of the strongest conferences in college basketball to begin with. And now you just watered it down with a couple of fluff West Coast teams in USC and Washington. Now, there are going to be years USC's good because they'll have elite talent at times, but they're still not a Big Ten type of basketball culture, and they're not going to be as consistent winning as they were before. But this just doesn't make sense. But this is reality now. This is Big Ten basketball. It's kind of why I said last year that Purdue won the last truly meaningful Big Ten regular season title, is because it was the traditional Big Ten footprint. All teams that grew up wanting to beat one another, you know, guys that grew up playing AAU together, playing against one another, playing with one another, but also kids who grew up in Indiana wanting to play against Purdue, or kids who grew up in Michigan wanting to play against Michigan State or for Michigan State, one or the other. And the cultural part of the Big Ten was part of what made it special. Mm-hmm. And now this is completely different. Now this really, in my opinion, waters down the league on a number of fronts and creates some competitive complications that aren't necessarily good for the league. And you know, Michigan and Illinois already laid down a gauntlet in the Big Ten race by winning their two Washington Oregon games, and now Purdue would love to keep pace with them in that regard, but it certainly isn't gonna be easy, especially at Oregon.
I think to your point, and I get that the logistics of all of this are just a complete nightmare, right? And Purdue's schedule can't just be looked at in a vacuum because there are all these other things to account for. But it is interesting to me that they're one week off, where there's only one game in the week, is at the end of the month they play a Friday game at home against Michigan, and then the next Friday they're home against Indiana. And you're thinking to yourself, well, do they really need the week off in between two home games? I understand that you have to put the Washington and Oregon trip together, right? But couldn't at Rutgers be flipped with Indiana or Michigan? I don't know. Again,
there's just too many balls in the air. There are too many teams with too many scheduling landmines. And I'm not blaming the schedule maker for this. I'm just saying it should be something where there are some standards in terms of here's what you can do, here's what you can't do, here's how we get around this. Maybe TV has to accept the fact that Michigan State has to go to Washington during college football bowl season. That's an issue right now, is that they don't want any of their name brand games in December for TV purposes. So you're never going to get, I'm sorry, I said Michigan State at Washington. I meant Michigan State at UCLA. That would be a game that national TV is going to want, but they don't want that game played in December because everybody's watching football still. Maybe you got to get away from some deal breakers like that to make this thing work. Maybe you got to start the Big Ten season sooner. Maybe you got to play four games in December instead of the two. It's just the bigger this gets, the less sense it makes. You've already got four teams now getting left out of the Big Ten tournament, which isn't that big a deal, but it's also not what a lot of these players signed up for. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of changing things on the fly here. And I don't know how many kids grew up saying, oh man, I want to play in the Big Ten tournament. But nevertheless, it's part of the college basketball experience that, you know, you used to be guaranteed. Some fans might like the Big Ten tournament, and it just being a moving target now is for X number. This won't apply to Purdue anytime soon, but it'll apply to a number of teams every year. It just runs so counter to so much of what's made the Big Ten great for a very long time that it's kind of unfortunate. And I don't blame the schedule maker. That's an impossible job, but they should look for some solutions here in terms of making this make as much sense as possible in a situation where it doesn't make any sense.
We'll have to update those business cards. So Brian Newbert, Purdue basketball coverer and Big Ten tournament liker.
I'm not saying I necessarily like the Big Ten tournament. I'm saying that there might be Nebraska fans who years ago when they joined the league said, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to go to the Big Ten tournament, and I'm going to save my money, and I'm going to fly to New York City back when it was in New York.
Yeah.
That one year, or Washington, D.C.
Sure.
And that's going to be really cool. And that's going to be the Big Ten basketball experience. That's going to be my first real taste of Big Ten basketball in a cool place for a number of days or whatever. And now they couldn't plan for that because they wouldn't know if Nebraska was going to qualify for the Big Ten. I don't know why I'm picking on Nebraska. I'm just saying that they were in that situation back when they joined the league. And maybe somebody from Seattle is saying, hey, you know what? I really want to go to Indianapolis in March. So I'm going to start planning. I'm going to look at flights. I'm going to ask for days off work, because I want to watch my Washington Huskies play in Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And they can't because they don't know if that team's going to make it. This has been a kind of a weird offshoot to this conversation that I took us on. But I'm just kind of using the Big Ten tournament change as the face of the Big Ten changing in ways that the Big Ten didn't need to change because the Big Ten was in pretty good shape before. But it has been kind of led around by the nose by TV money. All related to football, and it's not really been the best thing. Basketball's probably had to do some things that aren't in basketball's best interests for the sake of that football money driven media rights deal. Again, basketball benefits from that. Their athletic departments make that money too, but you know, their fans who don't know when the game is on Peacock, who don't know what Peacock is. There are a lot of older fans who cover Big Ten or follow Big Ten sports, and them streaming Peacock, I'm sure been an adventure for the people who want them tuning in. And the schedule is what it is. And there's just all this stuff that's come with this that has really changed the Big Ten in a way that I don't think is in the Big Ten's best interest.
Yeah, and you know, largely college sports as well. I do think there will be some trial and error here, and I think there will be some smoothing out, but there are some things that just aren't going to be smoothed out. There are some things logistically that are going to remain a headache because it is a freaking headache to have a league that has Rutgers and UCLA in it. Yeah. So there's just, you know, what are you going to do? There's only so much you can iron out when it comes to that. But still should be, as you said, a unique week. Purdue and UW Wednesday, and then they're in Phil Knight Land on Saturday afternoon. Catch Brian's coverage, wrap, video analysis right here at goldenblack.com. Safe travels, my man, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, thanks, Derek.
That's our friend Brian Newbert, and that is our show for this Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to our great sponsors of Golden Black Radio, including Purdue Federal Credit Union, the official credit card for Purdue fans, East End Grill and Ripple & Company, two distinctive bistros across the street from one another on the far end of Main Street in Lafayette, the Whitaker Inn for unparalleled comfort and cuisine. Visit the Whitaker Inn. Sand Valley Resort, celebrate all that the wilderness provides this winter at Sand Valley. Start planning your next winter getaway by visiting sandvalleypursuits.com. And the Purdue Institute for Cancer Research, which has a history of innovation and one goal for the future, defeat cancer. Join the fight and donate to the Purdue Institute for Cancer Research today. And of course, don't forget to sign up to become a member for the best Purdue coverage right here at goldandblack.com. Until next time here on Golden Black Radio, I'm Derek Schultz. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you next Tuesday here at goldandblack.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.